That was good. Don't you love when the Lord wakes you up at 4 a.m. and tells you to totally do something different for your whole message? I was like, no big deal. I'll just rewrite the whole thing. He did. He woke me up at 4 a.m. and I heard Road to Emmaus. So I just kind of threw out 8 pages of notes and went, all right, here we go. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just love you. We love you. We love you because you first loved us. You're so good to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you just for the power of scripture, Lord. We thank you. Lead us and guide us in all truth. And we just lead a surrendered life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. It's probably like the good chunk of teaching. But yeah, like I said, I kind of threw out a bunch of stuff, but it's good to be obedient. I was thinking of some stories as I was thinking about the story of the road to Emmaus and some contrast. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone who quoted a lot of scripture, told a lot of stories about their Christian life? They were saying all the right things. It even sounded intellectually engaging, you know, it was entertaining. But kind of in your gut, it just kind of felt a little bit off, felt a little dry, felt a little forced. You know, like you picked up an old sandwich in the refrigerator from last week and talked it up. there just wasn't that vibrant life in it. It lacked this kind of living presence. Sometimes it was like a little bit of a flag. Something seems off. Anyone ever been in those conversations? Like I said, they're saying all the right thing. Could be from a preaching pulpit or just a Christian talking to you. And it almost... And like I said, this isn't a judgment thing. We're talking about discernment. In fact, actually, the title of my message is How to Discern When God's Speaking. Because discernment is not an excuse to be critical, judgmental, and write people off, right? That's a religious spirit. But we do need to discern when someone is, what, speaking into our lives in the name of God. And what I started to get a sense, because growing up in church and growing up in ministry, anybody been in a lot of these kind of conversations, I get this sense of a religious performance, that they wanted attention, significance, identity from some of these things that they were sharing. And I started to feel underneath the surface. You ever feel a setup coming on? You ever get in a conversation and go, oh, here it comes towards the end. Well, that flag was going off. And then I would get this... this agenda start pulling beneath the surface. It was almost like the Holy Spirit would tell me, here it comes, okay? And then after they'd share all these things, they'd hit me up to support their ministry or their Christian business or partner and do an event with them because they had a cause and they wanted me to buy their t-shirt or bring all my friends to their event or try to, I've been this one too, hey, do you have any friends you can get me to speak in their churches? And I'm like, what was the whole point of this conversation? Anybody been to these? Man, you kind of feel a little used, and like I said, it's not a criticism thing, but sometimes, how do I say this? You need to discern what's going on beneath the surface, because sometimes you need to see the counterfeit to know the legit, right? And you got to be really careful to not get jaded and throw it all out. Does that make sense? Because it was interesting, I've kind of been talking about hearing the voice of God, not just for yourself, but for other people. Because I've been in these conversations and they've even given me what was, they call a word from God for me. You ever been in one of those? Like, and I have a word from the Lord for you. And you know, they'd even tell me something I wanted to hear. You know, because I was like the single one for forever. You know, oh, you're going to do this and get there and have this and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, ah. But it would just kind of fall flat, you know? You ever tried on a pair of shoes and it was just a half size too small and you didn't realize it was too small until you tried walking in it? That's what it would feel like. And in time, after trying to walk through this, I started getting a little callous in my heart. Real talk. And like I said, I was going through this a lot. And like I said, growing up in churches. And I started seeing this. And I was like, it's just learning to discern how that affected the church. My friends, Christians, that I have friends to this day that aren't in churches to this day because of these experiences over and over again. And I went through a place where I just straight up threw the baby out with the bathwater when it came to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, I knew it was real, but like, I'll tell you, when someone wanted to kind of operate those things in my life, I'd like wall up. Anyone? Anyone besides myself? mean, I'm real talking at church. And I kind of went through a season of skepticism, of cynicism. And the Lord had to correct me for that. And I had to forgive. Anybody get that place where you're like, hey, we're the body of Christ? Anybody got goofy people in your family, but they're your family and you love them? And this is the fam. And we're going to have to learn to love and forgive them. So God, I had to ask God to forgive me for kind of getting into that place of cynicism and kind of anger even towards it being misused. And the Lord healed my heart. And then I just went on this deep dive journey. And it really was an intimacy with God. It was just in those places of me opening up my Bible and me worshiping the Lord and asking him questions and wanting all of God that I could get. And I started seeing the real more than the counterfeit. And it made me really, really hungry to try to teach these things and create space as much as possible, not forced. I don't believe in forcing things, but creating space for things. And the beauty of when people do things from the right heart and the right motive out of a vibrant relationship of God, how powerful and how life-giving they are. Has anyone ever sat at a table? And I'm telling you, like, you got to be really careful, like, to not blow people off, especially even little kids. Gavin Minatolo is telling me that he was at a park sitting on a swing, and this little six-year-old came up and swung beside him and started telling him about Jesus. And said, hey, don't listen to the devil. He's a bad guy. And here, you know, Gavin has a heart to, like, evangelize, and it, like, really just, like, surged his heart. And I'm like, how cool is that? You know, it says, and I wrote it in my scripture, but there's a scripture that says, out of the mouth of babes, they'll praise God. So God will speak to you. And it says to be careful to what? Entertain, to be hospitable to strangers, not stranger danger, but people that you don't know really well, because you might be entertaining an angel. Or how about this? God might just speak through them. So we shouldn't go up to people with this wall up, right? But we should have our discernment on, because God uses the foolish things of the wise to the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So I'm teaching us discernment, and discernment is found through intimacy with God. Does that make sense? It is found through just hanging out with him in his word and his presence with no agenda except just to be with him. And then you go to this point, you go, Holy Spirit, fill me up. I want all of you I can get. And we start to hear him much clearer. So I had to share a little bit of this contrasting story because I want some of us to get that little bit of a wall down. I had one. I loved Jesus. And I loved Holy Spirit. I just didn't see him always represented well. And what I learned is it was just my job to represent him well and teach other people to do it, and the world was going to change. And I'm super passionate about it. So, you know, why am I on this series about discernment? Because I want to see us get really healthy. And I think the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are empowered with the fruits of the Holy Spirit are very long-lasting and very impactful. So it is really important for us to not rely upon other people to interpret the will of God for our lives. I say that as a pastor. I think it's really arrogant when a pastor says, well, I think I know what's better for your life than you do. I'm like, that is arrogant, not good, right? Anyone, come on, you ever been around someone like that? I'm like, what I want to do is train and equip you to hear from the Lord for yourself. And I pray that God would use me to what? Help confirm what the Lord is already speaking to you. I just want people healthy hearts and things like that. So, all right, I want to dive into this story in Luke chapter 24. And I always say this, it is dangerous to stay in a place where we are led by, how would I say this? We are easily misled by our emotions and feelings. I woke up this morning not feeling good. This baby is coming in 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. Guys, my body was not feeling good. Even after that little bit of a cheat cup of coffee, you know, that's a little controversial when you're pregnant. It's fine. We're preaching, okay? And, you know, your feelings are fickle. Your hormones are crazy. I found that out in pregnancy real quick. I'd like tell Brad, I was like, I know this is crazy right now. So I will also say this. If you've ever gone through a season, and raise your hand and be honest, of a season of disappointment. Yeah? A season of grief, of pain. You know, those feelings are real. I'm not going to downplay that. Those are real things. You need to be honest that you're going through them. But the catch is this, is we're not always to be led by them. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Now, we are to grieve, right? The Bible tells us we are to grieve and we are to mourn, and we are to what? Mourn with those that mourn and grieve with those that grieve, right? And we go through that. But the Lord created these emotions because they need someplace to go. And you know where they're supposed to go? Is to him. It's to him. And you know what's so beautiful on the road to Emmaus? We have two grieving disciples that Jesus met them right where they were at. And he is speaking. And maybe you're going through a season of disappointment. Maybe things did not play out the way you want them to. Maybe just hurt. Maybe some confusion. There's a lot of emotions going on here, but God is going to what speak through so you don't get stuck there. Does that make sense? All right. So Jesus is speaking in disguise on the road to Emmaus. And I'll tell you, Jesus is probably speaking in disguise through some people in your life. Some people that really have your best interests in mind, that truly love you and care for you and are walking with the Lord. And sometimes it's good to discern when we have the fakers, the counterfeit, with the agenda, right? And then we have the people that truly just love you and want to see God heal you and walk with you through this journey. So in Luke chapter 24, verse 13, we're going to jump in the story. Jesus has, just a week prior, he publicly received the mantle of the King of Kings. It was coming, this Messiah, right? And he and they had the Palm Sunday, and the whole town is celebrating, and it's Passover. So that means everyone's packed out. It's like D.C. packed out for a national holiday. You know, everybody wanted to be there. So the word spread, and everybody's like, yeah, the Messiah's here. He's going to free us from what they think. Sometimes we look and we want Jesus to do something for us, right? when you just hang out with me. But what they wanted was, their agenda was, I want him to free us from the oppression of the Romans. And a week later, it didn't play out that they wanted. And you know, people are really fickle. They'll like you one day, and the next day when you decide to not be exactly who they want you to be, they just turn on you and crucify you. It was pretty rough. And the whole town's still talking about it. Whole town. And there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of pain. There's grieving. People had lost, you know, Jesus as their, not only as their, well, just the many roles that he played in their life. And it was very interesting. I love this in Luke chapter 24. These were unknown disciples. These weren't the famous ones. These are just average people that love Jesus. And he went way out of his way to go walk 7 miles with them and eat with them. Because he sees you in your pain and grief. And he sees you in your confusion. He sees you in your betrayal and in your pain. And he wants to walk with you through it and bring truth and healing and freedom. And we are to do the same with other people. So, Luke chapter 24, 13 through 16. It says, that same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. I don't know about you, but when I have a rough day or a rough season, sometimes I need to walk it off. Real talk. Anybody like that? You're like, I just need to kind of, you kind of come home from work and you've had people kind of attack you, slander you. You know, it's just been a rough week and you just go, you know what? I just need to kind of walk it off. So they're walking and they're talking and they're just trying to process these things. It says they're talking about everything that happened. Man, it wasn't a good thing. These are hard, confusing, painful things, grieving things. And it says, and while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Isn't that beautiful? In the midst of confusion, of pain, of heartache, of betrayal, of hurt, he's going to draw near to your heart. Because what Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. It says that throughout the word. He is captivated by your heart. And he wants your heart healthy. So he's drawn to them and he starts what? Walking with them. And it says this, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. I don't know about you, but have you ever been so discouraged you could not see straight? Hello. I have. I've had those weeks. I have friends. I've been just like, I'm not doing good right now. I'm not doing good right now. My emotions, my hurt, I am raging right now. Thank God for, can you just be honest and stop lying? Guys, us lying to ourselves is not helping us, because people can't get in faith for us to minister to us and bring freedom and truth in our life unless you are. Now, I had some people just make some faces at me, you people. Faith is powerful. Faking it is damaging. Faith is birth through relationship. Be honest. Be honest. And let the Lord meet you where you're at and what? Walk you through it. And walk you out of it. I know I had some people like make those faces. I was like, now keep listening. All right, here we go. Sometimes discouragement and grief and pain causes us to a place where we really can't see straight. We really can't even like hear the voice of the Lord. You ever get into a point of like that where you're just hurting and you're reading the Bible and you're reading it and I can't even make sense of it? There are tear-stained pages. You've just flown through a whole chapter, you're sitting there and I don't remember any of it. But guess what? I'm with him. He is his word and he will meet me on that journey because I am seeking his face. So this was a supernatural act where Jesus was disguised, but I think it also gives a pattern of just, wait, God's going to send someone to you. But we need to discern when he is speaking. So this is beautiful. So they're in the middle of this conversation. They're confused. They're talking it out. Like, I don't know this. And Jesus just butts right in. Isn't that beautiful? A real friend's going to butt in your conversation. Right? Come on, listen. I mean, listen, I have some friends here, but like, I'm real fridge. I'm going to go to their fridge when I'm hungry. I'm going to butt in their conversation because that's what intimacy and real friendship does. So he just kind of, this stranger walks up, just butts in their conversation. And here's how it plays out. Luke chapter 24, 17 through 18. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" And they stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Now, this is very interesting. Jesus knew what they were talking about. But I think he needed to have them just admit honestly where they're at. All right? So it said they stopped short and sadness was across their face. And then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have been happening here the last few days." Don't you just love sarcasm? He's like, "Who do you think you are?" It's Jesus himself. "You don't know." Okay? So he's like, "Are you serious? Are you living under a rock? How do you not know all these things? Everybody's talking about it. How do you not know these things?" All right. You know, like I said, it's very interesting. Sometimes we want Jesus to do things for us, that we want him to do things a certain way. And how many people know normally he doesn't do it a certain way, the way we wanted it or the timing we wanted it. But, you know, when we give time in his presence, we don't always get the answers, but we get the comfort. Okay. So they're having a hard time discerning the mission of Jesus and the sacrifice. So Jesus goes to kind of clarify some things. Luke 24, 19, it says, "What things," Jesus asks, "the things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said, "he was a prophet." Note, "he was a prophet who did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and of all people." It's very interesting when people are stuck in pain, of disappointment, of even anger. You know what's so funny? Their experiences start to define their doctrine. And that is a very dangerous place to be. Because didn't Jesus tell his disciples, "Hey, yo, I'm going to come down in human flesh. I'm going to die. I'm going to be raised again to take on the sins of the world." He did kind of tell them towards the end, finally, the plan. And what the experiences and the pain and the disappointment and the confusion is having them kind of reorient who Jesus is to them, even though they walked with him. It's just interesting. So what, Jesus is coming to bring truth, but he's listening. All right. So the disciples are getting kind of short-sighted. They didn't think that sin was their problem. What, they just got really fixated. And I'll tell you this, like, pain will make you fixate on the natural, the down here. The everyday stuff. And our world, I'll tell you this, when I'm in pain, when I'm feeling hurt, when I'm frustrated, I'll tell you, my world gets really small. It doesn't get big. Real talk. And all they're thinking about is, my problem is not a sin problem. My problem is a Rome problem. And we thought Jesus was going to take away the Rome problem. And our world just got really, really, really small. And it was really interesting. The ironic thing was the religious leaders, the Jews of that day, they really had a sin problem, right? They had a law problem. And what happened, they got so fixated on these natural things of what they wanted the Messiah to be. When he wasn't what they wanted him to be, they turned on him and got Rome to crucify him. Hi. All right, Luke chapter 24, 20 through 25 says, "But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to a condemned to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago, and then some women from our group of followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing. They had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see him, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said." All right, like they're right there. They're kind of like rethinking things, but they kind of still miss the point. Why? Because they're like this. They are hyper-fixated on their disappointment. It didn't play out like we wanted it to. But Jesus did tell them this was gonna happen. So verse 25, and it's Jesus once again in disguise. Says to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering into his glory?" These disciples, which just represent us, anybody can relate with them in your raw honesty, that we're just blinded by discouraging circumstances. Anyone? Their focus was so much on how their desires of how they wanted things to play out. Their focus was so much on the limited, on the things in the natural, on Rome and what was politically going on. They kind of forgot about the higher desires and the higher ways of God. And they started misinterpreting a situation and they were getting it all twisted and it became a self-serving kind of thing. And this misinformation is going on, and their views were getting all twisted, and suddenly Jesus, the Son of God that performed all these miracles, what did they just say? He's a prophet and a teacher. They had to bring Jesus down into their kind of low way of living here. So Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says this. It says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." Jesus is meeting them exactly where they're at to listen to them in their pain, in their confusion, in their grief. And what's he gonna do? He's gonna speak truth and life and healing to them and bring them back up to the higher place. I wonder how many of us in our discouragement, Jesus comes right alongside us in his word. Open up your Bible. I don't care if it's an app. That's his word. And he's coming right up beside us to speak into the pain, into the disappointment, into the betrayal, into the hurt of our lives with his living, breathing word, which is his presence. And we're so blinded by our own hurt, by our own disappointments, by our own agenda, by our own desires that we fail to recognize him speaking directly to us and even through us in the simplicity and the power of his word. Why are we missing it? Because we're cherry-picking scriptures to justify our hurt, our pain, our disappointment, our offense. Have we ever done it before? Have I done it before? Yes. Is it healthy? No. And that's why God might be sending someone to you to go higher. And it might be, how about this? The best thing is Jesus himself coming up right beside you in his word. His word is his presence. But we're sometimes so caught up in our own pain and disappointment, we're missing it. You know, we need to look at the word of God and even prophetic words. Prophetic words are when someone comes up to us and says, "Hey, I believe the Lord is speaking this to you." And according to, let's see here. Oh my goodness. 1 Corinthians 14:3, it is to what build us up, to encourage us, build up, to encourage, to comfort, and strengthen, right? And God is trying to speak to us through them, or how about this, right up beside us in his word. With the answer. Luke chapter 24, 27. And I'll say this, most of the time it's not the answer we're looking for, it's his presence that comes to heal. So Luke chapter 24, verse 27, it says, "Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and the prophets, explaining to them all the scriptures of the things concerning him." So Jesus is the word. He is emphasizing what the word. Jesus is the word. coming up right beside you. His presence that we forget is right there, and he's emphasizing what? His presence in the word, and he's the golden thread through it all. He's not emphasizing their experience. He's not emphasizing their emotion, although he is validating it through the word. But he said, I'm bigger than this, I'm higher than this. He is not even emphasizing popular religious opinion at that time. Luke chapter 24, 28 through 30, it says this, by this time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey, and Jesus acted as if he were going on. But they begged him, stay the night with us since it is getting late. So he went home with them and they sat down to eat, and he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them, and all of a sudden the veil in their eyes just lifted. All of a sudden they went flashback to the Last Supper. The last time they were hanging out with their friend intimately, the last time they were hanging out with the Son of God who came in human flesh to die for us. And he said, hey, this is going to play out. My body will be broken. My blood will be spilled to pay for the sins of the world. And all of a sudden their eyes were open. They go, oh yeah, that's what this was all about. The word of Jesus, he brings them through scripture. He is his word. He brings them through scripture, and all of a sudden, I'm alive with his presence. It was the aha epiphany light just went on moment. You probably read three chapters, and all of a sudden, it was bringing into this moment and go, I see you moving in a higher way. I don't understand it all, but your presence in here, and it brings healing and vision and peace and direction. Jesus is his word, and when we receive it in active faith, it is alive and it burns in our hearts with powerful presence. I'm not saying Jesus is a feeling. He is his word. But when we open the word and we ask him to speak to us, and we are in faith for him to speak through his word, it is alive. It's crackling. It burns in our heart, and it may not give us always the explanation that we need or want, but it brings the healing that we need and the vision that we need. Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing the soul and spirit. It exposes the motives of the heart. What is this whole message about? Church, we're going to learn to be better discerning when God is speaking to us and not discount the most powerful way that he speaks to us, which is his word that we have to keep active in faith in, right? Because it brings presence. And his presence moves beyond all the words that we want to hear, right? And it brings healing and freedom and truth and recharges us to go and do and be what he's called us to do and be himself on this earth. You know, God is always speaking to us, right? We just kind of miss it. Because oftentimes we're looking for something to be rational and make sense. And he sent a little 6-year-old on the swing beside you to tell you about Jesus. To go, hey, if a 6-year-old can do it, I think I can do it too. And say, don't listen to the devil. Okay, you know what? If a little kid comes up, don't listen to the devil. If you need some intellectual, 60-minute sermon, how about just listen to that little kid out of the mouth of babes that just reminds you of the simplicity of the gospel, right? If I'm telling you, God can speak through donkeys. It's in the Bible. God can talk through non-Christians. You ever had someone just make a comment at Walmart and you go, yep, I just need to get over myself. Come on, come on. I'm telling you, it's wild and it's recognizing. So stop trying to intellectually figure out the delivery method. Stop looking for something that scratches your intellectual itch or something that's sensational that entertains you. Because I'll tell you, I've sat through some really entertaining stories that aren't alive. And it's just someone looking for attention, someone that's looking for validation, someone that's just trying to recruit me for their ministry. But I've sat next to some kids and teenagers, and I've sat next to just some really sweet people that I know don't have 30 degrees and don't have a television program. And the simplicity of who Jesus is to them brings me to tears. And it's beautiful. And it brings healing in my heart. Because all of a sudden, I go to a higher place because it's all about what? Him. Anybody ever had some of those conversations? Luke 24, 31 through 32, it says, suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. And they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he walked us on the road and explained the scripture to us? Jeremiah 20, verse 9 says this. Jeremiah's a prophet. He said, his word was in my heart as a burning fire shot up in my bones. Another translation says, your message burns in my heart and bones. I cannot keep it silent. The message of Jesus Christ is really simple. It's powerful. And sometimes we just really want a complicated answer. And he's just going to speak through his word and the simplicity of power who he is. And it brings healing. It brings truth. It brings clarity. It might not bring all the answers you're looking for, but it'll bring what you need to get you back on the saddle and go be who you're called to be. John 6, 63 says this. Jesus says this. The very words I've spoken to you are spirit and life. The words I've spoken to you bring God's life-giving spirit. Okay, so what's it saying? God's words spoken and received in faith becomes presence. God's word, hold up that little Bible, that little app, that's fine. God's word, when it is spoken to you, and what received in faith brings presence. I've had people preach word intellectually at me. You ever had just someone just preach? And man, they're like super smart. They got 3 degrees and they got like all these entertaining stories. And it's just not alive, but it scratches the itch. And I'll tell you, we can miss so much of the supernatural looking for the spectacular to be entertained. And God sends that little kid or that one worship song. And I'll tell you what I love about, and I'm not just saying this because of Brad, because I'm friends with this team. I tell you, I was not feeling good this morning. I barely made it up those stairs. And I said, pray for me. But I said, I knew I was going to what? Enter into his presence, because the words that they pick, they really work hard to find songs that preach the gospel. Not all those worship songs do, but in this church, they work really hard. We're going to find something that preaches the gospel that's based in scripture, because what? It's life. And there's something about just saying, God, I'm hurting right now. God, I'm confused. I am disappointed. I ain't feeling it. God works really hard right now, but you know what? This is your time. And I'm just going to pour out my heart before you, and I'm going to lay all this out before you and be honest. And now I'm just going to go, but this is all about you, and I want to meet with you. No agenda, and make it all about you, Jesus. Be glorified. Be lifted high. These bones will live. These bones will come alive, if you know what I'm quoting. All right? The army of God will rise. This is not the end. This is only the beginning. Amen? And he starts what? Speaking. And it wasn't the answer you were looking for. It was higher. It was him. And I think that's all we need at the end. Romans 10, 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amplified Classic says this, what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ Jesus himself. So faith is the evidence of a current, living, breathing relationship with God. It's not the old sandwich you whipped out, you know, just because you feel like you should be talking about him right now. That's old. It's dry. What? You're just looking for affirmation. What? Faith is birthed out of a current relationship with Jesus Christ, and our relationships need to be simple. And when we receive that word spoken in faith, we receive his scripture in faith going, this is Jesus talking to me. It increases our capacity to hear and receive. Does that make sense? When we receive the word of God in faith, I'm going to allow him to speak to me. It increases our capacity to hear and receive. It literally enhances our ability to hear him more clearly. So when we pour our lives out in the word, we just lay it all out before him. And then we allow the word of God to pour into us and we receive it by faith. It increases our capacity to hear clearly from the Lord and go to a higher place. It increases our capacity to recognize his voice more clearly. And I'm telling you, you don't always get the answer you're looking for, but you'll get the presence you need. You ever, for all us cell phone people, because I think everybody got one by now, I was like the last of my friends because it was not in my budget back when I was in college. But have you ever gotten a weird text from someone, you know, and it's just a little bit like, hey, maybe it's your best friend, maybe it's the person you're dating, maybe it's your spouse or whatever, and it just is a little bit off. You know, they kind of use an abbreviation they normally wouldn't. They use a term they normally wouldn't. They put a bunch of like Brad does not send hearts and smiley faces. That's not my Brad, okay? I'm that person, okay? And maybe they said something that seemed a little out of character. I don't put any weight in it. Why? Because I know their character, I know their nature, I know their voice because we text every day. A lot of discernment, people are going to say they're speaking in the name of God on that little TV show, you know, on that little like video clip of that person that, you know, just wants your time and your attention because they want you to sign up for their thing. They want you to do something for them. But you know, there's no heart of Jesus in it. Why? Because I know his heart. Why? Because we hang out all the time and I read his word. And with that is built a relationship that I know his character and I know his nature. And I just know my friend's phone got hijacked. Their little brother is sending me weirdo texts. Okay, come on, you guys. You ever had that? Come on. Or their friend thinks it's funny. They're going to send you a little joke. But I don't have to put any weight in it. I blow it off. Oh, someone hijacked their phone. That's not them. Okay. And I want to note this, by the way, you cannot self-will yourself into faith. Does that make sense? Faith is birthed out of a strong relationship in Jesus Christ. It is not birthed by striving. It is not because I'm going to aggressively repeat 50 scriptures a day because I am determined that my faith is going to win this battle. My faith is in Jesus Christ alone. My faith is in his ability. My faith is the fact that I wake up every day saying, Jesus, I need you, and you are the healer. That's your character. That's your nature. You're the restorer. You're the redeemer. You're the resurrection. You're the life. And when I hang out with you, your word is presence. And I may not understand all this, but you got this. And all of a sudden that trust, and you just lean back. And there's no striving. There's rest. There's surrender. And in the rest and in the surrender is where the greatest faith is birthed, because I know him. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. When God speaks, his word breathes life into the dry places of our life, to the confused places of our life, to the painful places, to the hurting places. It breathes life. It breathes healing. It pumps us full of vitality. Ephesians 2:1-5, you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, I ain't feeling it. I am in pain. I can't even get out of bed this morning. Anybody ever been there? I went through a season where I could barely get through the doors of this church. And I just needed, probably honestly, all y'all. Mark Salmon. My goal was to make it a Mark Salmon at the back of that door. You remember that season. I was going to walk up those steps, and I had an Uncle Mark, because my dad was in heaven, and I was in faith because I needed to come and be with my church family, and I needed to worship. And I just needed to lay all that pain and all that hurt and all that disappointment and all that betrayal at the feet of Jesus. And then Jerrell would give me a big old hug, and I'd smell like Jerrell because her perfume, and I'd smell the joy of the Lord. And I was like, you know what?
What? Joy is bigger than your circumstances, right, Miss Gerald? Because I knew your story. All right. Got a little bit closer to that worship time. And then his presence would come in like a flood. And it didn't always bring all the answers that I intellectually needed to hear, but it brought his presence that strengthened me and filled me all in all. Because at the end of the day, all you need is him. He made us alive. He is living. He is breathing. He is the Word made flesh. And many times we are not recognizing who just came up and was drawn to the pain and drawn to the disappointment and drawn to the hurt because he didn't want you to be alone in it. I will never leave you or forsake you. Stop blaming me. Stop trying to figure it out. We live in this broken world. We'll figure it out on the other side. But he is coming. He is drawn to you and he is going to walk right beside you. And guess what? When you open up your Word, which is his presence in faith. Lord, I don't even know if I can even focus on this. It's just a blur. But I am determined to just sit beside you. And I need your life. I need your vitality. I need refreshing. I need you. And he will come in like a flood. His Word received in faith, sought out in faith, brings presence, and the presence brings healing. His presence brings strength. His presence brings direction. His presence brings discernment. Yet we want to look a certain way. We want him to call him out in the middle of service. We want it to be what's so spectacular. We want it to be entertaining. And he goes, am I just not enough for you? You know, the worst thing you could ever sense in a relationship is not being enough for the person that you love. He is walking right beside you. He is walking through the scripture with you. He is shining a light on his goodness, his character, his nature, his faithfulness. But it's not the way we wanted it to be. I wanted the goosebumps. I wanted the experience. Am I not enough? But if we can open up our heart, our mind, and faith and stop questioning him and blaming him for the hurt and the pain, the disappointment, guess what? We won't always know why. But he wants to cozy up beside us and walk us through it and bring life to the dry bones. Will these bones live? That's the question. I'm quoting something I don't even have time to preach. There's a prophetic word where basically he took this prophet through the valley of dry bones and he goes, it's looking bad. It looks impossible. It looks ugly. It looks scary. I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to see a whole valley full of like skeletons. That's creepy to me. Okay? And he goes, son of man, will these bones live? That's the question, y'all. That's where faith comes in. Do you hear me? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. And if I'm not spending time opening up the Word of God, not looking for my answer, why does this hurt so bad? Why did they do that to me? Why did I lose everything again? But I go, I'm just looking for you. And you're enough for me. And he goes, daughter, son, do you believe these bones can live? Oh, but I keep reading, and you do wild things. You kind of specialize in what? Resurrections. Bringing dead, and I mean dead. I mean dry bone, not just like dead with skin on your body, like zombie style. I mean like dead, dead. And he specializes in bringing dead things to life. And ready for this? Not just your dead things, their dead things, your dead things. And we all, what? We walk out of it together as the army of God, united under what? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So my question to you is, this is not on my notes, but can these dry bones live? He needs to hear faith. Does he say, do you know how it's going to happen? No. But can they? Yes. And let him heal you. Let him put him back, you back together. And let him, ready for this? Not just connecting your bones, it's connecting you with other people that need to rise up. And then the body of Christ turns into the army of God. And where does it all start? His word, received in faith, is his presence. And his presence brings life and resurrection. If you've ever had an overwhelmingly impossible problem, I would say probably all of our lives at some point have been there. It's ugly. It's impossible. It's dead. And you don't know what to do. And you're scared. You're anxious. Or you're just can't get out of bed in the morning. What do you do? I'm honest with God. And I normally call my two best friends and saying, I am not doing good right now. Will you pray with me? And I'm going to open up the word, and I don't care how many pages I go through, because I know that my spirit man is what hearing the word of God, hearing his character and nature may not always be the answer that I want, but I'll tell you, his word received in faith brings presence that does supernatural things in my life. And all of a sudden, after spending that time, and I throw in some worship music just to get louder than, you know, whatever's going on in the room. And then I choose, not because I feel it, but because I need him. I worship him, and I praise him, and I thank him just for who he is. If you can't thank him for anything he's done, just thank him for who he is, because he is good. And with that comes resurrection life. And all of a sudden, the anxiety's gone. All of a sudden, the angst is gone. All the anger's diffused. And what am I left with? I'm left with him. He is the Prince of Peace, it says in Isaiah. So a lot of you are like, oh, I can't hear him. Well, guess what? He is his presence. His voice is his presence. Sometimes it's just deeper than what we can comprehend. Sometimes he is speaking something that we don't even want to hear. So we're just going to embrace his presence. When I embrace his word in faith, it brings presence. How do you know it's him? Because all of a sudden, it's not about you. You just want higher. And you know what melted away? Anxiety's gone. The fear's gone. That pain. I can breathe. It's him. He is his presence. He is. He is. I am. The great I am is more than enough for us. It is his presence. Is he enough for you? Is his word enough for you? We are often looking for the spectacular. We are often looking for the intellectual. We are often looking for the entertainment. We are often looking for the change in the newspaper. When he says, I am. Is that enough? Now, son or daughter, can these dry bones live? Watch me do it in a way that will blow your mind. But right now, you just need to cozy up beside me and let me be enough for you. And with that comes healing. And with that comes a peace that will blow your mind. He is peace. He is his presence. He is his word. Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, let it guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Is that enough, or do you need answers? Is that enough, or do you need results? Is that enough, or do you just need it your way? I've kind of concluded I like peace more than I like my own way. Because I can get my way and be all kinds of a mess. Be all kinds of a mess. Be all kinds of angry and frustrated, but be justified. You ever finally got your way and it still wasn't enough? I think all I need is him.
I need the peace of God that transcends all understanding. When we spend time with his word in faith that he's enough for us, he's going to walk us through it. He brings presence. His word received in faith is presence. And his presence will download things directly in your spirit that are uncomprehendable, that don't make sense. But all of a sudden, there is peace. You ever been through grief? Those whys will drive you to places that will break you. Have you ever been there? Why did this happen? Why did you allow? It will break you. And your family needs you. Your word is enough. You're enough for me. I'll get the why on the other side. But right now, what I need is you. And you are peace. And that is the presence. You guys can stand up. I threw out my old message, and I knew I was supposed to speak this. And I believe there's just some people that just need healing in your body, in your mind, in your relationships, and in your emotions. And I'll tell you this. That wall through disappointment and hurt at the brokenness of humanity trying to represent Jesus well that has done you wrong and has done you pain, you're going to need to forgive. And by the way, stop saying I'm not offended. You're lying to yourself. And God needs you to be honest so he can heal you. Offense is unmet expectations. In God, and in people, and in his church. And it will so muddy the waters to us hearing the voice of God. And his voice, received by faith, brings presence. And in his presence is healing, and peace, and freedom. And the great I am is all I need. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we love you. And you are more than enough for us. Jesus, we need your word. We need your presence. We need your healing. We need your strength. We need you. And you're enough for us. And Lord, we cast down our crowns. We lay down our agendas. We lay down our achievements. We lay down our pride. We lay down our pain and the offenses. And Lord, have your way. And I just challenge you, you know, it really helps me find healing is to say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. I need all of you I can get. He is so much bigger than we can possibly comprehend. And the peace that passes all understanding will what? Guard your heart, guard your mind. Put them dry bones back together. Put you back together. Fill you all in all. Cause you to get up. And when you've done all that you know to do, you can stand. I'm just going to stand in active faith, knowing that, Lord, you are moving and you are healing and you are restoring. You are the resurrection and the life. And all of a sudden, you look by your side and he's doing it in someone else's life because he's doing it in your life. And them seeing God resurrect your life without all the answers gives them faith to say, God, then you can resurrect mine too. And all of a sudden, the body comes together, the army comes together, and we move forward together. Where are we going? Probably not where you want. Because he's the general, he's the king. Can you trust him? Amen. Jesus, we love you. We surrender to you. Holy Spirit, fill me up. Help me to discern your voice, Lord. I thank you for your word. It is always speaking. It is always alive. Change me. Transform me. Make me more like you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are loved. If there are any, grow group leaders, ministry directors, I could use about 5 up here, guys and girls. If you'd like prayer or just like someone to encourage you, we are here. We'll march on together. Amen.